Chase and Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3 the game here on this Tuesday. Usually he joins us on Mondays, but moving things around, Brett Kern, former Titans punter, now joins us. Brett, I texted you. We're a little fired up this morning, so, you know, just get ready.
That's okay. Yeah, I guess I'm ready to go. So what do y'all got this morning?
Okay, so we've this kind of started yesterday. Joe had a very passionate rant because there's so much talk about analytics in sports. Now, it's not just the NFL. It's everywhere. Right. And, you know, he's kind of the and I personally kind of am too, of the old school of the eye test of, you know, either a guy's good or he's not. Like, you can see it, you know, pretty quick. But, you know, you know, especially, you know, I would say in the last 5-6 years that analytics has become a more important part of the game. So where are you on things and specifically how the Titans have used them in the last few years?
Yeah, it's obviously become a huge part of the game. I guess my only initial really feeling about analytics is like analytics doesn't involve emotion. Like for example, you know, you're at Buffalo, you know, that 4th-and-2 call. Analytics doesn't tell you what play to call. It's not like, wasn't there like a cheat code in Madden where it would say like preferred play or the play to call? You could like click, you know, circle X, whatever, you know, to call that play that the game told you to call. Analytics doesn't do that. It just says 4th-and-2, you have this percentage to go, would go for it, blah, blah, blah. It gives you the analytics is why to go for it, but it doesn't give you the play to call. And there's no emotion as far as like, you know, at Buffalo, you have the wind at your back. Remember, we were talking about it, and Sam Martin was kind of struggling coming into it, and you can pin him deep, and then all of a sudden you start controlling field position. Instead, it just says go for it on 4th-and-2. And so, I mean, you even look at, you know, the NFC Championship game last year, you know, with the Lions and that whole, well, analytics says to go for it and do this and that. But, like, you're on the road in San Francisco in an NFC Championship game. Like, you just, right? There's no emotion involved in, you know, the analytics on the chart. And so I think that's where I struggle the most. I get if you want to use it to evaluate players, and I don't really understand all that. And I like analytics. I was really big on to like charting myself statistically and, you know, where my directions were and, you know, where I was placing punts and all that kind of stuff, like to break down what I need to do to get better, you know, in the off season, what I need to work on. But so there's obviously a time and a place for it, which is great if it works.
I feel like for you, it would probably be a little more prevalent because of, like you just said, of where you're placing the ball and, like, you know, the averages of, okay, if you put it out inside the, you know, the 5 or whatever, they're, you know, they're going 3 and out this amount of times. I mean, I feel like it would kind of help, especially on special teams.
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, for me, it was, you know, balls on the right hash and I'm going right. Where am I placing the ball? Balls on the left hash. Now I'm going across the field going right. Where am I placing the ball? And so I was able to look at where my punts were going and then evaluate it in the year. Like, man, I really wasn't as consistent placing the ball where I wanted to be on a right punt from the left hash. How can I go work on that, right? You know, and I know, you know, Vrabel was really big on maybe not the analytics part, but he was just like, if I had a punt that went down to the 18-yard line, he would be upset because he was like, look, if you had that ball to 7, that difference of 11 yards, 10 yards, you know, when a team starts from backed up to 10-yard going out, you know, there's only like a 6.2% chance that they get any points. Well, if they start at the 18 or, you know, like the 20, right, now it bumps up to, hey, now there's like a 27% chance that they can get points. Like, he was more into like that kind of stuff. And so you realize like, man, if I could get this punt down here at a certain spot, I know that of this amount of percentage that they, you know, won't get points, right? But yeah, for me, analytics, they don't show the emotion or like on the road weather or, you know, how has the play calling been going? It just gives you like, hey, 4th-and-2, analytics, they go for it. Well, there's so many more factors that analytics doesn't take into. Of just pure raw emotion of the game, that's kind of where I struggle with it.
Here's one for you too, Brett. If you outscore your opponent 100% of the time, you're going to win. So that
Well, you know, we had keys to the game, and I never got called on, which was great because I knew I was never going to get called on. But I'm telling you, Vrabel used to do that all the time, and I was you know, especially towards the end of my career, if you were going to call on me and say, hey, Brett, what's the key to the game? I'd just say, hey, let's just score more points than the other team. There you go.
It works
every time. I promise you we'll win.
It works every time. Hey, I want to talk about this real quick, and he keeps doing it. I was watching Stonehouse on Sunday, just kicking so far past the coverage, especially one time when a guy had a 14-yard start that he kicked the ball so far. I know this is, you know, not the reason they lost, but how can you say you got to punt higher or you got to get faster guys down the field? What's the solution here?
I mean, you know, it's kind of the Shane Leckler approach. You know, the Raiders, Shane would just, he was the six, we call him the 60-40. Like, you bomb at 60, you net 40, and that's great. But the Raiders would then also go draft or bring in, you know, the two fastest guys in the draft that you're like, man, why did they draft this guy? Well, he runs a 4.2, so he can go cover Shane Leckler's punts, right? and it usually didn't, you know, work out because the guy couldn't play receiver or DB. He was just extremely fast and could go cover punts. But yeah, I mean, that's just how Stoney punts, and, you know, he's able to put the field, and, you know, you're kind of, you know, maybe rolling the dice a little bit. But, you know, like I said, I mean, this is a young special teams unit. You got guys probably playing gunner that have never played before. You probably got guys that are playing special teams that really didn't do it in college, and they're asked to, you know, go play special teams at an NFL level, which is, it's an art, it's a skill, it's a talent that, you know, it's something that, starting out in the league, your first, second year, you're just trying to figure it out. And then hopefully by year 3, 4, 5, it's like, it's an art of how to play special teams. And so, you know, I mean, they've given up 537 yards of punt return yards. That's first. The next team is 337 and, you know, 38.2 on kickoff returns, which is, you know, the most given up in the league this year. So special teams is obviously struggling. And I look at, like, even yesterday, like something little, right? It's and for me, penalties also are huge. You know, they have 69 penalties for 539 yards total, which is top 10 in the NFL. But 21 of them are pre-snap penalties. So 30% of them are coming before the ball is even snapped, whether it's delay of game, false start, illegal formation, right? So that's, you know, yardage that you're losing. So like on Sunday, you know, it's 3rd and 6 from the 19, right? 37-yard field goal, you're up 7-6. Pass was incomplete, right? So fourth down, you're going out to kick a 37-yarder. Face mask on Watson, then a false start on Watson. So now all of a sudden that becomes a 49-yard field goal that Nick Folk, yeah, if you asked him, hey, man, I should have made it, right? But he missed it by, what, 2 feet maybe? Yeah,
right.
From 37 yards, that's in. And so then they come down. L.A. has great field position. They do a flea flicker, 8 plays later, 4th and 1, Herbert scores a TD, now it's 13-6. And so it's little things like that. And even the whole Big Jeff thing, the strips, I get it. Control what you can control. That's clearly, some people are going to say that was a forward pass. Some people are going to say that's a fumble. Hey, maybe you're up 14-13 going in a half to start the ball. I get that. But if you look at what happened, you'd love to go down and score in the 2 minute. They don't, but the defense stops them. So you're now, LA's punting with 18 seconds left, right? And you have 2 timeouts. J.K. Scott hits a high ball. Jackson, instead of coming up and fair catches it, right? If you fair catch that on the 40, you know, at about 12 seconds left, 11, 12 seconds, you really only have to go 20-ish yards, 25 yards to give Nick a really good chance. But you still have 2 timeouts. You can run 2 plays. Mm-hmm. Instead, he peters it. Let it hit the ground, and what is LA supposed to do? We called it bleed it. You bleed it. Don't touch the ball. Let it roll. Let it do. And JK was losing yards. As a punter, you're thinking, oh my gosh, I'm here goes my gross just moving backwards. It's coming towards me.
Right.
But they did what they were supposed to do. You bleed the clock, because why? Now all of a sudden the Titans get the ball with 4 seconds left. You can't do anything. So what would have happened? It's a little thing that could make a big difference, because you know, this is like what the Chiefs do, right? You're always talking about the Chiefs. Oh, I hate the Chiefs. Look at they all, you know. Well, then you give them – Chiefs probably would have fair caught that. Mahomes would have thrown a play to Kelce, this and that. Harrison Buckner goes out. They kick a field goal. Momentum switch completely going into halftime. It's just little things like that. And a lot of it, you know, yeah, the offense, there's a lot with the offense, but special teams too. Little things on special teams that you can do to help your team win.
That might be the best analysis I've ever heard on this radio station. I mean, I'm being serious. Well, you're exactly right.
Well, I this is Vrabel his detail, his attention to detail was like this stuff right here. I never would have thought of.
Yeah.
And over the years with Vrabel, it was just like he would show example after example, and you're thinking, dang, well, I never thought of it like that. But something like this, and everybody asks, well, why did the Chiefs win? Why are they this? Why are they that? They shouldn't have won that game. Why? Little things like this, and it leads to. Little things like this leads to victories in the end.
Oh, man. Real quick question for you, and Chase got some more. I was watching the Patriots game, and Stonehouse punted, and he almost got blocked into by his own guy. And I looked down, and it was Morgan Cox. I thought you couldn't line up over the long snapper. The Patriots guy just drove him straight back.
Yeah, you have to be 2 yards from the line of scrimmage.
Well, that's even – so they get a two-yard start?
Yeah, I know, right? Yeah. so you can't, I don't think you can touch him on field goal anymore. I'm sure there's a lot of snappers way back in the day that wish like they didn't have to worry about Warren Sapp or somebody like that coming straight over them during field goal snap. But yeah, you can't be two yards. You have to be 2 yards off the line of scrimmage. And so pretty much that allows the snapper, that allows Morgan, because clearly he's doing everything upside down. Like that's not easy.
Right.
And so you're having to snap it. Put it on the spot, and Morgan is extremely like. I remember when Morgan came here, and he said, "Hey, man, where do you want it on your body?" And I was telling him, "Hey, if we're going right, I want it on this right hip. Left, I want it on the left hip." And he was just like, "All right, I'm going to aim for this little spot on your belt." I'm like, "I'm sorry, what?" This guy, he was just putting him right there, and I'm like, "Dang, that." I mean, his attention to detail is spot on. But for him, you know, he has to snap. And then look up. And so pretty much what was happening a lot of times is teams were lining up over the snapper. He would snap, and they would just smoke him without him even getting a chance to even pick his head up. And so a lot of guys were falling back, kicking back, hitting their head on the turf. And so it's one of those, you know, NFL safety rules.
Brett Kern is with us, former Titans punter. Will Levis returns to the lineup against the Chargers. And look, I didn't think he played bad by any means, but – you know, as they continue to evaluate him to try and decide, you know, his future, you and I have talked about this. To me, it's more than just the quarterback. Like, it's got to be the whole organization has to be looked at. Amy's got to be looking at that. And we sit here every day debating, okay, do you kind of hope that the rest of the season just goes in the toilet and they end up with a number one overall pick? And, you know, then what do you do with that? Do you try and trade out of that and build around Will, or do you take a quarterback? I mean, how crazy is that, like, hearing that stuff from the outside, from the locker room, and kind of sitting there going, I'm just out there trying to make plays while everybody else is talking about our future. I mean, how much of that is going on right now, or are the guys in the room just trying to put that noise out?
Yeah, I mean, honestly, it just depends on how the guys are, you know, involved with things outside of the locker room. You know, whether it's through social media, what do they read? What do they look up? Do they have family members sending them an article saying, hey, look what this person said about you and this and that, right? You block it out. Can you ignore the noise is probably the big phrases. And so, yeah, I mean, you know, he had a better QBR than Justin Herbert, on Sunday. he won that category. You know, he had 7 sacks and, you know, looking at the sacks, I mean, you know, 2 of them, he tried to make a play, probably could have thrown it away. You know, Dylan Raiden's got beat on one. That was definitely not his fault. And then there's a couple that, you know, he was, you know, of course, Bud Dupree. you know, he's stepping up in the pocket. Stepping up in the pocket, and it looks like, you know, one of them he's about to throw, and he gets sacked from behind. And then another one did the same thing and kind of got sacked from behind. And so, you know, those are they on him? I don't know. That's something that you'd have to ask Coach Callahan and say, hey, look, we see him stepping up the pocket. What's the route concept? You know, is Calvin open? Is Chig open? Like, who's the primary? Who's the secondary? Who's the third on these routes? You know, but that's something that even watching the game, even myself watching, like, is that on Will or is that on, you know, the receiver maybe not getting open? Is that on protection, right? But I know all of them definitely, you know, weren't on him. So, you know, I thought he played well on Sunday for coming back and, you know, obviously getting his shoulder healthy and just kind of taking some time to, you know, kind of take a break, I guess you could say, probably more mentally than anything else. But yeah, it's the same. It's, you know, when Mason was playing, the same kind of things were happening. And so it's obviously not just a Will Levis problem or a quarterback problem. My thing is, like, how hard is it to, first of all, if you have the number one overall pick, first of all, you have to have the team in place to make sure you have the right guy. Then you have to make sure that whoever the coach is, like, how many true quarterback guru developers are there out there on NFL teams?
Yeah.
I don't know. Like, does your team have one of them? I don't know. And so, you know, all of a sudden then you got, you know, your offensive coordinator, your head coach. Can he apply, for example, Will's skill set to the offense? Or are you hey, everybody's going to be stuck in this box and I'm just going to run all these plays and I hope you can do it, right? I'm not willing to adapt and change to what my quarterback's skill set is. Like, there's so many factors. I mean, you look at like Jacksonville or Cleveland, it's like they had the number one pick and they, you know, they picked Blaine Gabbert, who's, you know, good dude, good quarterback, had a great arm, but what, like, what was around him? Like, there was no development. There was, like, the coaching staff wasn't right. Offensive coordinator wasn't right. And then, you know, you just wasted your number one pick. So, like, all these things have to line up for it to work out to where your quarterback's, like, the dude, right? So, and I just thought, you know, that's just – and I really don't think that's out there a lot. I really don't think there's, like, true quarterback developer guru guys that are out. I don't think there's a lot of them. And so it's tough, and it's tough to be like, if you're in that position, like, do you pick, you know, you look at like, Chicago picking Caleb Williams and then you got Washington playing, you know, Jaden Daniels, like, what's the difference? You know, like, I'd love to see like what the breakdown is. Like, if you put Caleb with some offensive, like if Caleb had to go to Kansas City with Andy Reid, what would happen? Right. You just think of all these like scenarios and, but it just has to match up perfectly for it to succeed.
I agree. Brett, real quick, I've gotten two texts. There's some on the text line. They would like for you to go over to St. Thomas Sports Park and apply for the special teams coach later this morning. Can you do that for us?
Well, it's hard this weekend. I was on a golf trip. And, you know, going on a golf trip with some really good friends or going out to L.A. to coach in a game. oh, man. That'd be tough.
Hey, you know what?
Chase can pick you up. Chase,
yeah,
got,
yeah,
I take it as a compliment. Maybe I can be an analytics special teams guru. Oh,
There you go.
No.
Brett, appreciate it as always. We'll talk next week.
Sounds good. Y'all have a good one.
You too. Brett Kern, former Titans punter, joining us. It's Chase and Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.